Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. And on tonight, we are going to be talking about songs in the church. We're going to be talking about some songs and songs in the church. We're going to try to bring some correct understanding happening in the church. I want you to come back. If you have a question, I want you to tune into the chat room. Get in contact with me on Facebook. Let me know if you got a question. I want you to call in and answer your question. This is Calvin Ward again. We're going to be talking about tongues on tonight. So I want you to call a friend. I want you to tune in. We're going to get into a nice teaching and discussion on tongues in the church. But before we get started, I want you to listen to this song and just sit back and relax. Tell a friend. Invite them in. If you have a question or if you have a comment, I need you to, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, you can go into the chat room here. You can let me know if you have a comment or a question. If you go to the Blog Talk Radio page and go there, you will see a phone number. Call that phone number. I will see you into the studio, and I will see you in the studio, and I'll be able to patch you in. And also, we're also streaming live on GMAP Radio Broadcasting Network. It's an online broadcasting network, GMAP, so I want you to check that out, and we're streaming through GMAP as well. So I want you to be blessed, and we're going to talk about this subject on tonight. And before we get started, I do want you to hear this song. As I said, this song is Rain on My Field by Prophetess. I believe she's now Apostle Melissa Brown. So I hope this song bless you. I want you to listen to this, and then we'll be right back with the show. And we're gonna drop a one or two liner on Halloween as well. So tonight's going to be a controversial night. So I want you to stay tuned. Feel free if you have any questions that go with or against what you hear. We want to hear your questions and your comments. So we'll be right back after this song by Melissa.
How many want the Lord to rain on you? Holy Spirit, is that what you want tonight? Holy Spirit, rain on my field. What I asked him one morning at 4:30, I said, rain on my field. No one was around, just me and Daddy God. I had something on my heart. I said, Holy Spirit, Melissa needs rain on my feet. Come on, help me sing it. the ground of my heart is your fear. And I confess to myself, but sometimes I let the cares of this world because of it. I let my shield get hardened. Prophet, it's an all. Sometimes I do that. But I said, Lord, break up the fallow ground. Let you see who was there. Why did I ask him? For my heart may be flexible and useful.
To the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward, and I want to welcome you on tonight's show. Tonight we're going to be talking about tongues. So I want you to sit back, relax. If you have a question, I want you to call the number. If you have a comment, I want you to call in and ask your question as well. If you are on Blog Talk Radio, tune into the chat room and sit back and relax. And again, you are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, and I'm your host, Calvin Ward. All right. Well, let's get into the show on tonight. Tonight we are not streaming live on GMAP, so I want to put that out there. We are not streaming live on GMAP, so if anybody has tuned into GMAP to listen to the show on tonight, I don't see the show playing up. But we're going to get right into the subject on tonight. And tonight, the topic is speaking in tongues. And we're going to talk about speaking in tongues. And what happened with this was it was not too long ago. Actually, I'd say a couple of weeks ago, I had one of these books in my library, and I just picked up the book to really listen. I mean, to really look into this book. This is a book on tongues. You know, excuse me for a minute. I was a little distracted there. By Spiros Zoriates. I think I'm jacking up his name. Spiros, S-P-I-R-O-S, Zoriates, Z-O-D-H-I-A-T-E-S. It's an exegetical commentary on 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. And I've had this book for a while, and a couple of weeks ago, I just started to look through it and come through it. I said, you know, I really need to get into this book just to see if there are some things that may clash with what I've been told or what I believe, and just to check some things out. And as I got into the book and began to read, I was like, wow, this is some good stuff. And I began to reference it for 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But even after that, one night I could not sleep. I guess I came home from work and went to bed, and I woke up at 12, but I could not sleep. And so I was like, this is a mess. I got to get up at 4:30. And so I went and grabbed my Bible, and God began to download and speak to me concerning tongues. And that's what we are going to talk about here on tonight. This is going to be a controversial message. Some people may not like the message that they're hearing. Some people may not agree with everything that they hear tonight, but we're going to get into 1 Corinthians. We would love to hear what you have to say. Love to hear your side of the story. If you know someone who is a SME on the subject, for instance, or who you feel would have a lot to say on it, please tell them to call into the show. We want to hear what they have to say. Now, let's get into this. In 1 Corinthians, I have a King James Bible here, but the first thing to get into is in 1 Corinthians, it says that in chapter 14, it says that in my Bible, this is the King James Study Bible, but the first heading that you see there over that chapter is that prophecy superior to tongues. It says prophecy superior to tongues. And then Paul begins to go through here. One of the issues that we see here in this with the Corinthians in this church is this issue of tongues, and we know that this issue of tongues was prevalent in the church of Corinth. We know they had a lot of gifts, but we know that this was one of the issues that was prevalent, was the speaking in tongues. And Paul had to address them as an apostle. Now, let's go through this, and then we're going to lay a foundation. Now, the book says, let's start at verse 1. Paul says, follow after charity. Now, it's also funny. Well, it's not funny, but it's ironic. He says, follow after charity. Here, in the chapter right before tongues, we see he's talking about the way of love. And he says in the first chapter, in chapter 13, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. So we understand that there's tongues of men and tongues of angels. But he says, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And I find that fitting to introduce this with, because there are a lot of people who speak in tongues and they feel that they are superior or higher than other people. And you are no more superior, or you are not hearing God any more than the next person who does not speak in tongues, but who is filled with the Holy Spirit and is obedient to the Lord. So there is no distinction there. There is no distinction that is held there between the two. He says, if I don't have love, I'm a tinkling brass. So we see here that love is even exalted above speaking in tongues. And then he says in verse 2, this is the way of love. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. So all these gifts that we like to operate in, and you know, we can speak in tongues, but we can't speak to people. And we can operate in gift without character and integrity. But if you don't have love, it really doesn't mean anything. And in verse 3, he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So we can give everything that we have. We can sacrifice our body, our homes, our health, minds, wives, children, family. We don't have love, none of that profits nothing. None of that means anything. You know, Christ, you know, hate to be there on judgment day. Didn't I do this for you? Didn't I heal in your name? Didn't I raise the dead in your name? And have them look us in our faces that I never knew you. Why? Where is the love? Hello, Marvin Gaye. Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? In chapter 14, prophecy superior to tongues. First of all, in that heading in the King James Bible, we understand that there is a difference between tongues and prophecy. So those of us that think that tongues are equivalent to prophecy, you are wrong. Tongues are not equivalent to prophecy, and tongues are not even considered prophecy unless there is an interpretation that follows. But let's see what he says here. He says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. He said, desire the spiritual gifts, and we know that speaking in tongues with the interpretation, that's a gift. Now, he says here, but rather that you may prophesy. He says, have the gifts. You can raise the dead. You can heal. Have the gift of faith. Minister, edify, build up. Gift of mercy, gift of prophecy, all of those things, even the fivefold. The fourfold, better called, or the ascension gifts, so let's call them that. He says, but rather that you may prophesy, because when you prophesy, prophesying is edification, and it has to be understood, and it has to enter the ear gate of the individual. Therefore, to get to your spirit, it has to enter this ear gate, and it has to be understood. And it has to be edified. It has to edify. It has to be understood. And when it's understood, it can edify. That means it can build the body as a whole. And it can build other people up because they can understand what's going on. Verse 2 in chapter 14, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. What is Paul talking about here? There is a tongue. There is a tongue that every believer has. But guess what? is just like, yeah, be it unto you according to your faith. Because what Paul says is, he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now listen to me. He says an unknown tongue. You speaketh not unto men, but you speak unto God. So when you're in your own prayer room, when you're in your prayer closet, and you have your tongue, and you don't know all the time what that interpretation is, you are speaking not unto men, you're speaking unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. So guess what? You're speaking mysteries when you're in your room and you're speaking in tongues to build up your own person, to build yourself up. You don't know what you're saying, but the Spirit knows what he's saying. He's speaking mysteries, and that is for your personal edification, and that is for your personal growth. That is edifying your spirit. That is building up your most holy faith. But in verse 3, but he that prophesieth, so he just separated. You're speaking in an unknown tongue. You're speaking, it is God that's speaking. He's downloading mysteries. Verse 3 says, but he that prophesies speak unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So right here, we see the purpose of prophecy. We see the purpose of prophecy. We know that prophecy comes to edify, prophecy comes to exhort, and prophecy comes to comfort. It does not come to tell you who you're going to marry. And right here in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, we see that. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Excuse me, that's verse 4. So what are we saying here? He made a distinction between an unknown tongue that an individual has that they can use behind the scenes to build up their faith that they don't know the interpretation of, but the Spirit does, because he's speaking mysteries to your spirit, from he that prophesies in the church, which means when you prophesy, you're speaking unto men. When you're speaking in your unknown tongue, in your prayer language, you are speaking to God. It is communication of your spirit to God. Now watch this. Now verse 4 says, when you speak in an unknown tongue, edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So verse number 4, listen to this. When you speak in an unknown tongue, you are edifying yourself. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. Why can the church be edified? Because when you prophesy, you are prophesying something that can be understood by the people that are listening. So what is going on here means you're saying something that people can understand. I'm prophesying. I'm proclaiming. So here is a good point to interject what is not taught a lot of times in prophecy. You have foretelling, but you have forth, F-O-R-T-H, telling. So foretelling, F-O-R-E, telling, and you have foretelling. So here, in a level of prophesying that we see here, that it can be understood like preaching. Preaching is proclamation. Preaching is declaration. Preaching would fall in the preaching the gospel would fall under the category of foretelling, because we're proclaiming. We are foretelling what are already the revealed oracles of God, and we're foretelling the will of God or what he has already said. Foretelling is preaching or teaching or proclaiming the word or the will of the Lord that is set aside for the future. So you have to foretell and you have to foretell. And so a lot of prophesying that goes on in the church, even on Sundays, is foretelling. There is a foretelling that goes. There is a preaching that goes on with our pastors. They are foretelling. They are teaching us the word. They are foretelling. But verse 4 clearly says, if you speak in an unknown tongue, you edify it himself. What does he mean by unknown tongue? Unknown tongue is an unknown tongue that does not, it's unknown because it does not have a translation. It does not have a translation. And in verse 5, Paul says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but I rather that you prophesy. Now, he said, now this is good, because he says, I would that you all speak with tongues. Why did he say, I would that you all speak with tongues? Because he understood that not everybody was going to have faith to speak in tongues in that capacity. And this is where this is an issue in the church, because we say everybody should have tongues. Everybody should speak in tongues. Everybody's going to speak in tongues. But Paul said, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but he said more than that, which means that your tongues is not your tongues are not as important to your spiritual growth as prophecy is. He says, but rather that ye prophesy. What does that mean? To speak something that is intelligible, to speak something that is edifying, to speak that which speaks to your now, speaks to your future and your past. It is the proclaiming. It is that foretelling. He said, I wish that you would prophesy. Why? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speak with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 basically bring this thing home. The person that prophesies is greater. He says prophecy is greater than the person that speaks in tongues, except that if the person is speaking in tongues, especially in a public forum, there needs to be an interpretation that follows, because if you speak in tongues and an interpretation follows, the church is edified because there's an understanding that has been brought to what has just been said. But if you're speaking in tongues every time you pick up the microphone and there's no understanding there, then what are you doing? And see, what happens today, we have an apostolic and a prophetic movement. And we have an apostolic and a prophetic movement, and you know, and I operate in the prophetic very strong. But I remember years ago from Pentecostal Assemblies of the World that the Lord began to deal with me about prophecy or about speaking in tongues, and he began to deal with me with that. And what he began to do is to let me know, he said, look, when you get on pulpit, don't speak in tongues every time you try to get on that pulpit. That's not what the pulpit is for. The pulpit is not for you to speak in tongues. It's for the edification and the preaching of the gospel to the body that people can understand. Because at the root of repentance is a change of mind. Repent. You need to change the way that you think. Change your mind. If you change a man's mind, you change their acts of what they do. You change what they do, you change their life. So we need to repent. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand. How can they repent if they don't understand what you're saying? So when we're in front of people, it needs to be intelligible words. Here, Paul basically lays this thing out that, look, interpretation of tongues is on the same level as prophecy when there is an interpretation that follows, but except an interpretation follows, which means that we're operating in the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, then it is less than prophecy because it has no place. Now, verse 6, Paul continues to go on here. He says, now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. He said, well, how can I profit you speaking in tongues when I get up and come to talk to you? Except, he said, I need to speak by revelation, I need to speak by knowledge, I need to speak by prophesying, or by doctrine. So what are we saying here? Revelation, that which the Lord has revealed to us. There are three types of revelation. You have special revelation, natural revelation, and general revelation. So am I speaking to you by revelation or by knowledge? You have all different types of knowledge and different categories and domains of knowledge. And then he says, or by prophesying. Mm-hmm. Prophesying, speaking that concerning your life, speaking to your future, speaking to your now, or by a word of wisdom or knowledge, speaking to your past that's going to change your now and evidently change your future. And then he says, or by doctrine. What is this doctrine? He says, speaking by doctrine is talking about the teachings of the church. We understand this. He says, whether I'm coming to you teaching you doctrine, or I'm coming to you, you know, giving you the teaching of the church. We have our tenets, the canon of the church, and different things of that nature. Verse 7, he says, and even things without life. Now, he's about to make a point here. He said, now, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what am I profiting you? You know, unless I'm coming with some revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or doctrine. What am I doing with tongues? Because you can't even understand. And verse 7, he says, even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how can it be known what is pipe to harp? You know, you can get on the keyboard. Anybody can get on a keyboard and just start to hitting the keys and making sounds, but except there is a distinction to the sounds, except there is a distinction to the sounds, how can you tell what is being piped, what is being harped? Except there is a distinction to the sounds, what can you say? I mean, how can you tell what is being piped or what is being harped? Verse 8 says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, why? We know the trumpet or the shofar, you can liken them one to another. Some translations, the words are used interchangeably. He said, but the trumpet was known to prepare people for war. And we know this. So if the trumpet was jacked up in its sound, how could people make the distinction that it was time for war if the trumpet wasn't making the sound it was supposed to make? Talking about distinctions, so then he says in verse 9, so likewise ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. We got to understand what you're saying. Verse 10, he says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. There's a whole lot of voices in the world. How can we tell who is speaking? Verse 11, he says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Now, wow. He says, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. The first aspect of that scripture, I'm going to compare it to unknown tongues when you are in your prayer room.
According to verse 11, if, and it says there, excuse me, it says here, if you don't know the meaning of the voice, so you're in your personal prayer closet and you're speaking in tongues, but according to verse 11, if you don't know the meaning of the voice, then you shall be like a barbarian or a foreigner to the one that is speaking, and he that's speaking shall be a foreigner to you. So what does that mean? This is powerful. This means that the believer that is in their prayer closet, you speak it in an unknown tongue that they have when they communicate with the Lord, if they don't know the power or the meaning of the voice when they're in their own prayer closet, then they are a foreigner to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a foreigner unto you. Therefore, why? We need to find out what Paul tells us here, even in our unknown tongues, the signification or the distinction in those voices. This is deep. So that means if I speak in tongues, that means if I speak in tongues and I'm in my prayer closet speaking in an unknown tongue and I'm talking to the Holy Ghost, if I don't know the power of the voice or the power and the meaning of the voice, then I'm a barbarian to the Holy Spirit and he is a barbarian unto me. This is why if you go down to verse 13, Paul also says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So when we are in our prayer closets and we're speaking in an unknown tongue and we're edifying our spirits and we're doing these things, then we still need to pray, God, look, give me an interpretation of this tongue. God, what is going on here? I know I'm leaving here, there's something divine and spiritual going on, but God will give you an interpretation in your own prayer closet of what you pray when you are praying in the spirit. Because someone made a comment in the chat room, because this is good. Now, we're on verse 11 here, because, see, the Bible says they spake as the Holy Spirit give utterance. See, and what we have today is a lot of people who claim they speak in tongues at will. And I have a problem with that, and I really have a problem with that, especially as a prophet, because you hear the same thing in the prophetic circle. You hear the same thing in the prophetic circle, that people can just prophesy to you at will and they can just, you know, cut it on and cut it off, because we take the principle that it's a gift and it belongs to you and you can use it how you want to use it. And then we misquote the scripture that says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, when it's really not talking about that. So we pervert scripture to lay a foundation, and that's really not what we need to do. So people who say I prophesy at will, under the unction, because they say I got the gift, so I can prophesy to anybody, any place, and any time. Well, if you ask me, that's a psychic. Because, see, a psychic sits in a place where they are channeling spirits and seducing spirits and familiar spirits and demonic powers to get, and they're channeling this information from the second heaven, the realm between the sun and the moon, and they're getting information on people all the time. So they have access to all of this demonic information that they are getting, the spirit. And guess what? It is factual. It may be informative, and it's factual. But the difference between that psychic and the one who's getting information, they can tell you what your phone number is. They can tell you how many kids you have. They can tell you what color your house is. But they cannot speak to your destiny and your future, because that is unlocked to them. Because only God knows what's going on. Now I'm going to take a quick break. And we are going to come back. I want you to listen to this excerpt about Halloween, and we will be right back.
Halloween is a holiday that, you know, with Christians in the church, what they do is a holiday, you know, a lot of Christians will still dress up their youth and their kids and send them on out there, and they celebrate Halloween. You know, some people say, well, I celebrate Halloween, and it's just a holiday. It's just something for the kids to do to have fun. But then, on the flip side of that, you know, you have some that say, well, we don't celebrate Halloween, and we don't celebrate Halloween because it's a pagan holiday and this, that, or the other. Well, what side of the fence do you get on? And should you be straddling the fence? Definitely, well, you know, definitely not straddling the fence, but what side should you be on here? And so I'm going to give you guys just a little bit of information about the origin of the holiday. Now, everybody knows, well, not everybody knows, another name for the day is All Saints Day. All Saints Day. Let me back up, because the Roman Catholic Church, something you do need to know, when they went on their conquest to different lands, one of the things that they would do is, instead of canceling what the pagans were celebrating and instituting new, you can call them high holy days, or you can call them holy days, or you combine them and call them holidays, instead of canceling their holidays, and instituting, you know, new consecrated rituals, so to speak, or you can call it Christian rituals, or instead of doing away with that, what they did was they put stuff over top of it. So instead of doing totally away with something, they covered it up with a Christian holiday, and Halloween was one of those days. Halloween is a festival that goes back to our Celtics, and it goes back to our Druids, and it is connected to a holiday called Samhain. I think I want to make sure I pronounce that right. Samhain. It's spelled Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's pronounced Samhain. And there you go. Samhain is how you pronounce that. And that was a day that was celebrated by the Druids. It was the Celtic New Year, according to some. And some say it was the beginning of their new year. And one of the things with it being the beginning of the new year, that was the day that they believed the veil between the land of the living and the land of the dead was the thinnest, and that spirits could come back over and cross the veil and come into this realm. So they would wear costumes, and they would wear different things to ward off evil spirits. And that was one of the reasons behind that. Now, this period was from October the 31st to the 2nd of November. And during this period, they said it was a time of no time. And they said they did a lot of things, and this is where we get some of our crazy things. One of the things, the men dressed like women, the women dressed like men. They said some of the farmers' gates were unhinged and left in ditches, and people's horses were moved to different fields. The children would knock on the neighbors' doors for food and treats. And, you know, that's one of the origins that we still do today. So it has been kind of watered down, but this is some of the things we do today. Now, it also became known as All Saints Day or All Souls Day because it was All Hallows Eve. And so if you look at the origin of those words, it all combines. But at the gist of it, is it a pagan holiday? And if it is a pagan holiday, why are Christians celebrating it, and why do we even recognize it? Why do we celebrate it, and why do we even recognize it? And we want to just discuss this because there are some Christians who believe that they can just do anything they want to do and still call themselves saved. And I was talking with someone today, and they were saying, well, you know, it's all about your heart. It's not about what you do. Well, if that was the case, Jesus would have never said what he said: if you love me, obey me. So, Martina, what do you think on that? Because that's what we want to talk about, and give us some input, and we want to just talk about this and put this up for discussion. Because even on Facebook, and I posted some things on Facebook about this, Christians think that, you know, we feel we can just do anything we want to do, but as long as our hearts are right, that our actions don't matter. And so.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience with the holiday a little bit more, and give us, you know, just talk to us a little bit on that, coming from someone else's perspective or another minister's perspective.
I want to thank you for tuning in to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Wood, and tonight we're talking about speaking in tongues, and we're going through the Book of Corinthians, and we're going to have a guest on for our second hour, our second segment, just to talk a little bit about that, but we're going to get into this. It's a controversial subject, but feel free, please call in with questions or comments and invite a friend. You're listening to the Strategic Prophetic Radio broadcast. I want to welcome you back here. I had to take I know that was kind of a quick break, but I had to take a quick break because I'm sitting here looking. The show was only scheduled for 30 minutes, so I had to go in and extend the show out. Or it gave me 90 seconds. Y'all got shows, so y'all know how it do. I heard that it said that you got 90 seconds left. 90 seconds? I was like, let me get in here. So let me extend it because it's about to be cut off. But we're here in the chat session. You know, they want to come in. But let's go to Ephesians 6:18 because I see the conversation here, and they're talking about speaking in tongues at will. So the subject of why can't I speak in tongues at will? If I can pray at will, why can't I speak in tongues at will? And the reference scripture was Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And so I'm going to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, and this is the scripture that we use a lot. And ironically, it's in the book of Ephesians. But verse 18, it says here, well, I'll read the scripture before. Verse 17,
He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now see, he just answered his question. And Paul said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. But in Ephesians 6 and 18, what the church has done with this scripture is the only definition we give with always, he says here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The only definition we give to that is we just equate that to praying in tongues. We just equate that to praying in tongues. But we're going to continue on here. We're going to address that question as well. Actually, well, let's do this. Go to first, because I didn't go there, but we're going to address that in the next few minutes, because before we left, we had the break about Halloween. I did that as a break there. I interjected here at verse 11 and 12. So I'm going to start off with verse 12. Because he talked about in verse 11. In verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh the barbarian, he that speaketh unto me, and he that speaketh should be a barbarian unto me. Even if I'm praying in my unknown language with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost in my prayer time, if I don't know the meaning of the voice, look, he's a foreigner to me, I'm a foreigner to him. If I don't know the meaning, and some people could take a duality of that and talk about, if you don't understand the spiritual ramifications and power of speaking in tongues verse, and then some people will flip it and say, well, if you don't understand the literal translation of the tongues, then you're going to him to speak, if you're a foreigner, you are a foreigner to him to speaking. But let's go down. Verse 12, he says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. He says, you know, Paul is saying, as an apostle, I really shouldn't even be having this conversation, because it really should be simple. As much as you are zealous for spiritual gifts, and I just had to break down in verse 1 through 11 about speaking in tongues, because y'all out here speaking in all these tongues and there's no order in the church. He says, look, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. He says, so look, let's remedy this. If we can excel to the edifying of the church, we would just be okay. Why is tongues really an issue? And, why is that really a heavy issue? But he says, look, above all that, Paul says, seek to the edifying of the church. Edification is that which can be understood, that which people can take, use, understand, implement in their lives, and go forth where they can understand and magnify the Lord. Like we see, we're going to get in those instances. There were three instances in the book of Acts where people spoke in tongues. The Bible says in Isaiah, the prophesied one, it says they magnified the Lord. So here he talks about edifying. Now, verse 13, he says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So this is my question to those who may listen to this. You know, we got people, and I will get back on the speaking in tongues at will. You can speak in tongues at will, but you can't translate at will. That's the issue I had with that. I had some people that do that. And, you know, Pentecostal denominations, we'll grab a microphone and, you know, you'll ask somebody to pray and they'll begin to rattle off in tongues. Well, I didn't ask you to speak in tongues. We asked you to pray. For as soon as they get the mic, they start speaking off in tongues. Okay, when the speaking in tongues is supposed to be, that's the holies of holies between your spirit and God's spirit. And speaking in tongues is a submission to the Lord, where the Lord speaks in tongues and the Lord is doing something in your spirit. We talk about speaking at will. People say, hey, I pray in my prayer language every day. I do this, I do that. Now, and of course, we use Ephesians 6 and 18, and we go back and forth with that. But my reply to the Ephesians 18, people say, oh, pray in the spirit. He says, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Verse 14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, it is my spirit that prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So there we have it. We got people say, I'm praying in tongues, I understand it. Well, Paul said, look, in the Bible lets us know, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. This is why in verse 13 he says, look, you praying in an unknown tongue, let God ask you for an interpretation. We have people that get the microphone to go pray. They rattle off in tongues for 20, 10, 15 minutes before they start praying. Well, what did God just tell you? Or what is that? Or is that just something we're used to, because that's something we're taught to do and it's out of order? Verse 15, Paul says, what is it then? And this is the answer for those that go to Ephesians. And I'm just mentioning Ephesians 16 because we had someone that mentioned that. But if you go to that scripture where it says, I will pray in the spirit,
I'm addressing that scripture with what Paul says in verse 15 of Corinthians. He said, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with an understanding also. Praying, he said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with an understanding also, which means I will pray in the Spirit, which means I will pray in a language that I don't know the interpretation of, that my spirit is praying and communicating with God, but my understanding is unfruitful. And then he says, I will pray with an understanding also. We can see here the antithesis in the definitions of praying in the Spirit and praying with the understanding. Praying in the Spirit is without an understanding. That's why he had to say, I will pray with an understanding also. And then he goes forth to say, I will sing with the Spirit, which means I will sing in the Spirit, sing a new song unto the Lord. He says, I will sing with an understanding also. So there is a praying with an understanding. So praying in the Spirit, though you can pray in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. People say, I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying in the Spirit. Yeah, you're praying in the Spirit because there might be some intercession that's going on. Is God interceding on your behalf? That's an unknown language. Your mind is unfruitful unless you ask God for an interpretation of that, because then you would have an understanding. But we can pray with an understanding in the Spirit. You can pray with an understanding in the Spirit. People say, that's not the word of God. Well, God decreed and declared this whole world to be, and he created everything that there is. And I do believe God was still in the Spirit 100% of the time while he had his right mind decreeing and declaring. So us being filled with the Holy Spirit, we can still decree and declare, and we can still be in God. Verse 16, Paul says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he doesn't even understand what you're saying? I mean, this book, Paul, this is very clear. And this is a message because the present-day church don't want to receive it. What happened about 30 or 40 years ago, we had a doctrine. And I'm going to do a little teaching here. I'm going to interject here. We're at verse 16 in Corinthians, and we're going to finish this out. We're at verse 16 in Corinthians. We're going to finish this out, but as a little history here, see what happened in this century is a doctrine, something called metaphysics, and metaphysics is not all bad, but what metaphysics in some circles did was basically tried to say that man is God. Metaphysics was birthed out of satanic doctrine, because satanic doctrine says that do what thou wilt, that is the whole of the law. And so out of that we have this pseudo version of that do what thou wilt when it comes to certain teachings in metaphysics that come on and say you can have whatever you say, you can do whatever you want to do. You can decree it, declare it, yab it, blab it, grab it, you know, it's yours. And so out of that, we have a lot of doctrines, and people, you know, believe it or not, this is a spiritual, you got to understand where this stuff comes from, because satanic doctrines began to infuse everything, and we began to have a lot of witches that came into the church to be saved. And see, it's just like it was in the New Testament. These people in the New Testament church, these people were pagans, they were Greeks, they had a multiplicity of gods. They come into the church, and they get saved, but their understanding is unfruitful. So they brought their worldly knowledge and their worldly understanding or interpretation of God into the church, trying to explain the things that are in the church. And so this is what happened with metaphysics on the rise, and the church grabbed it, and the church started to preach faith, faith, faith. And we have something called the Word of Faith movement, and they begin to preach that, you know, your faith is this power or this force that you can use to decree and declare to the earth realm to say, to use the same power that God has to create your life, to create what you want to decree and to declare and to have it. Well, out of that Word of Faith movement came our focus on the gospel of prosperity. And out of that, you're supposed to be prosperous. You're supposed to be prosperous. And somewhere in between there, we have this dominion now doctrine or theology that lets us know that we are here, the kingdom is now. And there, and when you look through all of that, it's a connection of the will. It's a connection of I have power to do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. And it's a very demonic spirit. God doesn't have control of me, but he's given me the power to have control over my life aside from him. So now if I'm not submitted to God, then who's really in control?
So what this began to do is trickle down in doctrine, because so now, you know, when you trickle down in doctrine, what am I saying? When that trickles down in doctrine with speaking in tongues, this I can do what I want. Now in speaking in tongues, you don't even have to submit to the Spirit of the Lord. Now you can speak in tongues when you want to. The Spirit of the Lord doesn't have to, you don't have to yield yourself as a vessel to the Lord. Now he can speak in, now you can speak in tongues whenever you want to do, and you can access this power whenever you want to do it. And that's the same, and that comes from that same demonic doctrine of do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. And it comes from that same doctrine that teaches that men are, you are God. You are God. God has given you the power to do everything. So now we don't have to submit to God in our, we don't really have to submit our spirit to God. Because to anyone that doesn't believe in the gift of tongues, I've operated in the gift of tongues as a prophet. I came up in Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. I grew up in a Baptist church where we was taught the tongues didn't even exist. Then I came into the Pentecostal church and the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. And there we were taught to speak in tongues. People spoke in tongues when they got on the mic, across the pulpit, even in the middle of preaching. And that's when the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about that. And then even after that, I've been used to speak in tongues with the gift of tongues with an interpretation that followed. And in those atmospheres, when the Holy Spirit speaks and he speaks in tongues, the room is quiet. So anytime that gift is in operation, the whole room is quiet. And the room is quiet. And right after the tongues, there was an interpretation. So what I'm finding is even a lot of people in the body of Christ who have something to say about the gift of tongues or speaking in tongues haven't even experienced interpretation of tongues themselves, haven't been used by God with the gift, and have no idea what it is. But they are dogmatic because we are preaching what we've been taught. And that's all we know is what we've been taught. But when we get into the Bible and begin to do a word study and a Greek study, it blows your mind. And a lot of us don't want to really receive that, because an apostolic and prophetic movement, we just like to speak in tongues whenever and look deep and look all God and just do whatever we want to do. I've been in conferences. And you know, and I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I've been in conferences where I have prophesied to, not prophecies, conferences, gatherings, I have prophesied to people in the house. And I mean, you know, whether it was 14 or 15 or 20 or 30 people. And not once did I use and speak in tongues when I prophesied to them. I laid my hands on them and prophesied for 15 or 20 minutes the word of the Lord. Those that believe that everything is so deep and so spiritual about the scriptures, Paul laid it out for us here in chapter 14 about tongues. And the gist of it is, if you are in the church and you are in a public setting, keep your tongues to yourself unless there is an interpretation. If there is an interpretation to your tongues, then it is for edification of the body. Then it has the same weight as prophecy. Other than that, you keep your mouth shut, because Paul let us know that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So we have subject, we are subject to order in the church and to what God does in our spirit. Now, we stopped at verse 16. He says, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Mm-hmm. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. And this is one of those scriptures that people translate and Paul said, oh, I speak in tongues more than you all. He's not boasting over some spiritual gift. Paul spoke a couple of natural languages. He spoke a couple of natural languages. And those that are listening to me, I encourage you to go back and do a word study on the word tongues here, as well as in the New Testament, because we're going to bring this over into the book of Acts. As well, so we can talk about the book of Acts. But he says, yet in the church, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Yes, he spoke in some, Paul spoke in some natural languages, but he said, you know what, I speak in tongues more than you all. Why? How do we know that? Because he said, I speak in tongues of men and of angels. He says, yet in church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that my voice, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So here you will find out who your righteous people are, your self-righteous people are. You will find out who are the people that are overcome with the spirit of error and the spirit of argumentation. Because what will happen is when you begin to talk about what Paul talked about, tongues in the Bible, you will find those who will begin to be contentious because they feel that they are so spiritual, they've done it for so long. And instead of saying, you know what, Paul said edification is over tongues. He says edification is weightier than tongues. So why am I so worried about proving my point that, hey, I can speak in tongues when I want to. Hey, I can speak in tongues. I can do this. Why am I so worried about doing that when Paul says that prophesying is greater than that anyway? Why? because it's how it makes the people look. It makes them look great. It makes them look spiritual. People like to look spiritual. And then some people that do it, you know, you can talk purpose, you can talk definition, you can talk all of that. But I'm talking word study, I'm talking Greek and Hebrew, I'm talking proper context, and I'm talking what Paul taught to the church at Corinth, because what we've done, we've condemned people. People come into our churches and we're speaking in tongues and they're looking at us like we're crazy. And here we are looking at them like something wrong with them. They're saying, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's going down. And here we are saying, you need to be spiritual. You need to be spiritual. You need to get on the give the program. Paul said that's out of order. Paul said that's out of order. He says, do not be children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. Verse 20, he said, look, this is not deep. Let's be real here. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak to this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Listen, and it's clear there. Paul quotes that scripture, and it's clear there. He says, look, God used people of other nations, of other tongues, to come to his own people to bring the gospel, and they still would not hear it. Understand what he's talking about here. Verse 22, he says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. This is why when you see tongues used in the church, it should be at a place where the gift and the interpretation, because it's a sign to those that are watching that the Spirit is actually moving, there was an interpretation that's given, the whole body is edified, and the church can move together as a whole, and it is not something that looks so spiritual that no one can understand it. And Paul says, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now listen to this. Verse 22 of Corinthians, Paul said, tongues is for the unbeliever, prophecy is for the believer. He says, tongues is for the unbeliever, prophecy is for the believer. Tongues is for the unbeliever, prophecy is for the believer. So what are we talking about here? We're not talking about languages. We're not talking about languages. So, you know, in regressing a little bit, we've established in this teaching that, yes, there is an unknown tongue that the believer has. If your faith will release you to have and tap into your unknown tongue that you have with the Holy Ghost, then you have an unknown tongue that you can use in prayer and that you use when you're talking to God, or if you're in prayer and the Holy Spirit will take over and intercede. That is the Holy Spirit. That is your spirit praying to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit making intercession on your behalf. We understand that. But then there is the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues that is for the unbeliever when it is used in a public setting. The Spirit speaks and there's an interpretation, whether it's the same person or whether it's a group of people, there's an interpretation. The body is edified and the believer is encouraged, and the believer, it's a sign to the believer that God is real. And then there is prophecy. And prophecy is that which is edifying to the church. It's that which comes to uplift the church. And we went to the scripture to say that, hey, we understand that prophecy comes to exhort, it comes to edify, it comes to comfort, according to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. So Paul had to lay this down. So we're not negating that you have your spiritual prayer language. You got your prayer language. That's for you behind the scenes. That's not in the open. If you're going to use tongues in the open, it's the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, so that the body of Christ can be edified. It's not for you to grab a microphone and ta-ta-ta, woo-woo-woo. Do that in your own home. And what I'm saying to ministers that don't want to do that in their own home, and they continue to do it on the microphone, and they continue to do it on the pulpit, that they are out of order, and their spirit has been overcome with a spirit of error and pride, because they would rather put what they want to do over the will of God, when Paul clearly made it known that edification of the body is paramount, not your own spirit, your own agenda, and what you want to do. He says edification is paramount. So if I get up on the pulpit and I feel the inclination to speak in tongues, what I do, I shut my mouth, because this is not the time for it, unless I know that God is using me to interpret. And those that God has used to interpret, you know when God is using you to interpret, because if you've operated in that gift before, you know when and you know how and you know what the Lord is going to do. So that's where that's the balance in this. In doing all of this, we have people just doing whatever they want to do, and that's not the order that Paul was speaking here. Now, verse 24, he says, but if all prophesy and there come in one that does not believe or unlearn, He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is with you of a truth. What is he saying here? If an unbeliever is in the house and tongues comes across, and then there is an interpretation and it reveals the will or the heart of that believer, then that person is going to say, yes, God is for real, because I didn't tell anybody that. And that person spoke in tongues, and this person interpreted, or this person spoke, and they got an understanding. That unbeliever is going to be edified, and that unbeliever is going to receive from the Lord. And they're going to say, you know what, maybe there's something to this God thing, because this happened in my midst. Now, in the King James Version of the Bible, we're going to take a quick break in a few, but in the King James Version, that was verse 1 through 25. It separates, and it also says order in worship. It's funny how we know Paul addressed the Corinthians, and then after he laid down the purpose of tongues, he talks about order in worship, because it's the same thing we have today. It's the same individuals that talk about, you know, speaking in tongues, that you hear them on a pulpit, ba ba ba, boo boo, you know, whatever they say, you know, while they're preaching, you know, as if the Holy Spirit is so incoherent and can't speak through them consistently and sentences that could be understood in the message, but their spirit is subject to them. If they feel the inclination, they need to hold the inclination, is what I'm saying on that. They need to preach edification and hold it for your prayer closet. Come out of your prayer closet, build up in the Holy Ghost, get in front of people to edify them and build them up so that they may understand what's going on. But it's ironic, Paul talks about order in worship. He talks about order in worship. He says, verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a song, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have the interpretation. He says, look, let all things be done unto edifying. Again, there's that word edifying. And verse 27, if a man speak in an unknown tongue, and here is what the church doesn't want to obey. We just don't want to obey this. If a man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three. And that by course, let one interpret. If a man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three, and let one interpret. So what we should have in the church is, if there's really some people speaking in an unknown tongue in a public setting, it will have the same weight as prophecy, which means it will edify the church if it's done by two or three, and one can translate what the two or three said. But if there be no interpreter, Paul says, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God, which is the reason for the tongue. He said, let him speak to himself or unto God. So in verse 29, he said, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. You know, this is a wonderful thing because this is the wonderful thing because I like to, you know, we have two or three prophets and we like to see God move. You know, if I'm prophesying, I would stop. I'll pass the microphone to another prophet and we would just hear the Lord and see the Lord work and see the Lord move. So we like to do that, and the Lord just confirms. Zach and Angela, I see you're in the room. If you could you give us a call? I'd like to hear what you have to say there. I see you in the chat room, so give us a call. Oh, you're on the line. Okay, are you 910? Oh, okay. Can you guys hear me? Well, we're going to get in contact with Zach and Angela. We're going to take a quick break here. I want to thank you for listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. We're talking about speaking in tongues. We're talking about tongues in the church. We're not denying there's a spiritual tongue, but we're just talking about order in the church. And you know, some will take this as limiting God or trying to quench the spirit, but that's not so. There's so much disorder in the church now that no one knows what is God and what is not God. So we want you to tune in. If you have a question or comment, we want you to call in with your comment or your question. If you are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast, I'm your host, Calvin Ward. What I'm going to do right now, since it's Halloween, we're going to play a little snippet, of course. This is the show that we did on Halloween a while back. I'm going to play this snippet on Halloween, and it's meant I would really like for you to go back and research Halloween and find out the origin of Halloween
and question yourself as to why churches feel that they need to replace a satanic holiday with something for their children. So I want you to listen to that, and we'll be right back.
Halloween is a holiday that, you know, with Christians in the church, what they do is a holiday, you know, a lot of Christians will still dress up their youth and their kids and send them on out there, and they celebrate Halloween. You know, some people say, well, I celebrate Halloween, and it's just a holiday. It's just something for the kids to do to have fun. But then on the flip side of that, you know, you have some that say, well, we don't celebrate Halloween, and we don't celebrate Halloween because it's a pagan holiday and this, that, or the other. Well, what side of the fence do you get on? And should you be straddling the fence? Definitely, well, you know, definitely not straddling the fence, but what side should you be on here? And so I'm going to give you guys just a little bit of information about the origin of the holiday. Now, everybody knows, well, not everybody knows, another name for the day is All Saints Day. All Saints Day. Let me back up, because the Roman Catholic Church, something you do need to know, when they went on their conquest to different lands, one of the things that they would do is, instead of canceling what the pagans were celebrating and instituting new, you can call them high holy days, or you can call them holy days, or if you combine them and call them holidays, instead of canceling their holidays and instituting, you know, new consecrated rituals, so to speak, or you can call it Christian rituals, or instead of doing away with that, what they did was they put stuff over top of it. So instead of doing totally away with something, they covered it up with the Christian holiday, and Halloween was one of those days. Halloween is a festival that goes back to our Celtics, and it goes back to our Druids. And it is connected to a holiday called Samhain. I think I want to make sure I pronounce that right. Samhain. It's spelled Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's pronounced Samhain. And there you go. Samhain is how you pronounce that. And that was a day that was celebrated by the Druids. It was the Celtic New Year, according to some. And some said it was the beginning of their new year. And one of the things with it being the beginning of the new year, that was a day that they believed the veil between the land of the living and the land of the dead was the thinnest, and that spirits could come back over and cross the veil and come into this realm. So they would wear costumes, and they would wear different things to ward off evil spirits. And that was one of the reasons behind that. Now, this period was from October the 31st to the 2nd of November. And during this period, they said it was a time of no time. And they said they did a lot of things, and this is where we get some of our you know, crazy things. One of the things, the men dressed like women, the women dressed like men. They said some of the farmers' gates were unhinged and left in ditches, and people's horses were moved to different fields. The children would knock on the neighbors' doors for food and treats. And, you know, that's one of the origins that we still do today. So it has been kind of watered down, but this is some of the things we do today. Now, it also became known as All Saints Day or All Souls Day, because it was a All Hallows Eve. And so if you look at the origin of those words, it all combines. But at the gist of it, is it a pagan holiday? And if it is a pagan holiday, why are Christians celebrating it, and why do we even recognize it? Why do we celebrate it, and why do we even recognize it? And we want to just discuss this, because there are some Christians who believe that they can just do anything they want to do and still call themselves saved. And I was talking with someone today, and they were saying, well, you know, it's all about your heart. Not about what you do. Well, if that was the case, Jesus would have never said what he said: if you love me, obey me. So, Martina, what do you think on that? Because that's what we want to talk about, and give us some input, and we want to just talk about this and put this up for discussion. Because even on Facebook, and I posted some things on Facebook about this. Christians think that, you know, we feel we can just do anything we want to do, but as long as our hearts are right, that our actions don't matter. And so.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience with the holiday a little bit more, and give us, you know, just talk to us a little bit on that, coming from someone else's perspective or another minister's perspective.
All right, I want to thank you. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. We are talking about tongues in the church, you know, order, proper place, and getting into the scriptures. and just looking at it from what the Bible says. So we're talking about that. You have a question or comment, come into the chat room. You want to make a want to call in, come on and call in. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. This is your host, Calvin.
All right, we are back on the show here, and we're about to plug in our guest here, Artra, and we have a caller that's on the line. So we're going to plug in Artra. I'm going to plug in our guest, and then we're going to hear a comment from our guest that's on the line, or a listener that's on the line. All right, Artra, Prophetess Grace, how are you on tonight?
I'm great. Blessed.
Awesome, 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 awesome. We have a call on the line, so we're gonna let him patch in. But I just want you, can you introduce yourself? Give us your name, who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're gonna hit up our listener, and then we're gonna continue on with the show.
Okay. My name is Artra Gray, and I'm the intercessor for Christ that's in the chat room, and just been talking or actually listening to all that you've been talking about. It's just been wonderful hearing, you know, the things that you've said. In fact, I remember a couple of weeks ago, the Lord had called me down into my basement and just had me to sit quietly and read the word. And this was a particular chapter that he gave to me, 1 Corinthians 14. And, you know, it just began to talk about the tongues and everything and, you know, what's the purpose of these tongues. And, you know, we need to be clear on speaking in tongue. And as I've mentioned quite a bit in the chat room is that, you know, the Americans here, we're kind of spoiled. And we think that we can do things the way we want to do, but God has an order. And so we have to adhere to God's order. And I'll just leave it at that so you can go ahead with your next caller.
Right. All right, well, that's fitting because the next segment, well, what we've done here, I've quoted these scriptures and tried to make a foundation. Another book I'm going to recommend it this time again, Tongues by Spiros Zodiatis. And again, his name is Spiros Zodiatis. This gentleman, he did an exegetical analysis on a couple of chapters in the book of Corinthians, and you can look him up and look up his bio. And again, he's not definitive, but what it is, it's nice for us before we try to speak definitively on a subject to get a little bit of scholastic understanding about some things from a couple of different points of view, of course, and then, you know, do our studies. Use the Holy Ghost, but, you know, nowadays, and, you know, a lot of us just use our Holy Ghost, but what we say we have the Holy Spirit, but you know, what Holy Spirit is that? How do you know that you're being guided by the Word? We're not hearing Scripture, but having said that, I want to put that out there. That's the name of the book. That's one of the books that I use for reference, so you can use that if you desire. And we're going to go to a listener. I'm going to patch him in. You are on the Strategically Prophetic Broadcast. Can I get you to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Zachary.
Well, greetings. I want to welcome you to the show. And do you have a comment or question?
First, let me begin by prefacing a few things to see where we are, and then we can go forward because the understanding is very important. How can two walk together unless they agree? Do you know that there is not a God in America, right?
You said there's not a God in America?
Right, and that's by virtue of the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, God is not a name. God is a noun. That's why they have no problem with saying, in God we trust, because given that, you can worship whatever God you so desire. And I'll give you a case in point, and then I'll get to my point. What's the God's name in Saudi Arabia? Do you know the God's name in Saudi Arabia?
I assume that you're talking about Allah. I really don't know.
No, it's not an assumption.
Really don't
care. It's not an assumption. Their God's name is Allah, right? You can't state that Jesus is your God in the United States. And that's the problem. I came from overseas, and they do attest that Jesus Christ is God. And as a result of that, you got a lot of situations where you got this institutionalized, traditionalized church where you don't see the power of God. So when you're over in places like Nigeria and impoverished countries and Korea, they don't have the luxury of going to a doctor, a natural doctor. So they literally live the word of God, and you will see the power of God. They declare that Jesus is their God. Here, you can't make such a declaration. So you're constantly saying God, 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 which it means nothing. He said, if my people would call by my name,
so you're saying
God is
that
not a name.
So you're saying that the church, okay, so your first point was that there's no God in America, and
right.
I guess you're kind of offended that I was using God and not saying Jesus.
Well, no, I'm trying to get an understanding so I can put the preface on why we have this notion that understand there's liberty where there's the spirit. So if there's there's no spirit, there's no liberty. So you will have dissension in the church about the order. There's perfect peace.
With
Jesus
Christ.
So when you're speaking in an unknown tongue, just like Jesus spoke on the cross, they didn't understand what he was saying because they would say in the word, which is interpreted. Why would he need to interpret something if he was speaking to the people in that language, right?
So he was
speaking in an unknown tongue.
No, sir.
And he told you, he said, well, look, if you're a believer, you will speak in new tongues. And this is for a reason. The devil is trying to
keep you, just like he did
with Daniel.
Now you said you wanted understanding, but I have not heard a question.
Okay.
Where's the question on the aim of the understanding that you were trying to seek is given to show?
There's
now,
a,
I know you mentioned
a,
you said that Jesus said there's
the
no God in America.
That was made on the,
you said there's no God
the
in America.
Show,
you
said the show was about tongues.
Can I please finish? I just want to lay down some. You said that there was no God in America. You said that overseas they see the power of God. I'm assuming that we don't see the power of God over here in the United States. So you want an understanding towards what exactly?
The title of your show is misleading or it's contentious or I don't know what it is, but I hadn't heard where the order is, where it's needed to have a spiritual connection with the Lord. And there is a definite means and a way to establish that connection through the spirit, which he tells you that if you worship me, I desire to worship to be in spirit and in truth, to pray always in the spirit. So
right.
If we're praying, obviously in a, if
you
we're praying,
spirit.
Obviously in a prayer room, we're not praying in such a way. There is a collective prayer, which we can raise our voices to the Lord in the spirit collectively. And there's a place where we can pray in the church that we pray in the natural. Paul never said that, he said, and forbid it not. But if
so, Zach, what was the issue in Corinthians? What was the issue in Corinthians? Because you're making some good points. I'm not. The thing of this show, we've established the fact that there is a tongue that every believer has, be it unto you according to your faith, whether you want to use it or not. But we cannot deny the instructions Paul gave us in Corinthians 14 on when to use that. Secondly, we're not denying that there is an interpretation. There is a gift and there's an interpretation that follows. And I've operated in that gift. So I've seen it in operation and I've operated and it's totally quiet. And I have also, just to let you know, I've seen the power of God. So I walk as a prophet. As according to overseas, I've been overseas as well. So the power of God has been operational in either place. In the United States, I'm saying God because I'm saying God because this is Paul that's speaking. Paul is not Jesus, but it was God speaking through him, which is the Holy Spirit. So that's why I use that terminology. We know that the God that we serve is Jesus. When it comes to tongues, the thing with this is it's coming into
order. I don't think a lot
order.
Of your people do know that Jesus is the God you serve.
Well, I know that Jesus is the God that I serve, and anybody that wants
well,
to ask me can ask me, and I will tell
you. That's why I asked the question, because a lot of Mormons don't believe Jesus is God. A lot of other Christian denominations, like Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's, they don't believe Jesus is God. They believe he's a man and a prophet. And in 1 John 2, it says, if you deny Jesus Christ is coming to flesh as God, you will have the spirit of the Antichrist. That's why I asked the question before I even started.
Okay, so that was with God. So back to tongues, because we've been getting all scripture on tongues. What was the differentiation or the question or the point with the tongues? Because like you said, you made reference to Jesus,
and
but
you have a problem with people that say they will speak and at their own unction to speak
they will
with
speak
an unknown tongue.
It's the same thing with prophecy. Yes, it's a
because
what
said,
happens
I will. If you pray, he said, I will myself. I will pray in unknown tongue. I will. So he's not telling you.
No.
To give the utterance.
No, I think you need to go back and do another word study of the language.
He says, I will pray in the spirit.
He says, I will. He didn't say, I will to pray. There's a difference here.
No. He didn't say, I will too. He said, I will.
I will. So that's a forward. I'm going to pray in the spirit. That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah, he said, I will. So
that's separate,
if you will yourself to do something, that means you have the ability, the power to do it.
That's not what he's saying there. He's saying, look, I'm going to pray in the spirit. What does he say? He says, I'm going to pray in the spirit. Why? He knows he's the spiritual being. I'm going to pray in the spirit. That's aside from saying, I will to get up this morning and I will to go to the store because I have the ability to do it myself. When in the spirit realm, I mean, kind of saying the same thing here, but in the body of Christ, nobody wants to submit to the Holy Spirit anymore. So the differentiation that I was making in that comment is, if God is the one that we have to submit to in order for him to be able to intercede with our spirit, we don't control that. He does. But we're living in a gospel today where nobody has to be subservient to the Holy Ghost, and you can just walk in church and control the whole service, and God can't do nothing, and he walks out the back door. So what I was saying with regards to that, Paul said, yeah, he said, I will speak and I will pray. We know he's going to, because he let us know. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. But he said, in the church, I would speak 5 intelligible words. So my issue was with people, we do have people today, whether they're preachers, whether it's Kenneth Copeland, whether it's the Pope. If they get up in front of people and they speak in tongues and there's no translation, they're out of order. If there's 2 or 3 other people that's there, like what you said, you made a reference that, look, we can come together corporately as the body of Christ, and we can all pray in our language and speak in tongues. Well, wonderful. While everybody is praying in our language and speaking in tongues, and 2 or 3 people, there needs to be somebody there that says, hey, when we finish, look, God gave me an interpretation, and it's going to edify the whole body. If no interpretation follows, then what they just did was a bunch of gibberish. They could have did it at home in their closet. But when they come together as a body, Paul said edification was the key thing. So I'm not knocking it at all.
I asked a question. I didn't get an answer yet. Did Jesus ever speak publicly with an unknown tongue without interpretation?
Well, let me ask you the question. Did Jesus speak in tongues at all in the scriptures?
Yes, he did. Quite naturally he did, because he spoke. And when he spoke and they didn't understand it, they say, which is interpreted. When he healed the dead girl, he said, Talitha Kuma. Which is interpreted. So if it had to be interpreted, he was speaking to a common group of people, and they didn't understand what he was saying. So what else would that be?
Okay. Well, that's tongues. And I really thank you. I thank you for coming in, because on that note, we're going to take a quick break here. But on that note, I want to thank you for calling in, and I'm not trying to cut you off or interrupt you, but I have to take a break here. But on that note, there is a difference in tongues. There's a glossalia. When you look up the Greek word, there's a word that's talking about an uncertain or a language that could not have been spoken.
I've studied the scripture. I know what glossalia is.
There's another word that's there for tongues. And then there's 2 Greek adjectives that are used in distinction.
Well, I understand the Aramaic. I understand. But don't allow that to interfere with your understanding.
Thank you. You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Wood. I want to thank you for tuning in. And we are talking about tongues here. It's a very controversial subject, but I want to thank you for tuning in. If you have a question or comment, please call in and please let us know. You can call the number 619-393-6483, and we want to hear what you have to say. All right, we are back on the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. Prophetess Autra, how are you on tonight? And we are going to continue in this discussion. Are you still here, Providence?
I'm still here.
Well, what did you think about our guest there? I was trying
as I was just trying to be very congenial, but what did you think?
Well, I think it's just that maybe the point was just misled or misunderstood. I think what you're really trying to emphasize here in this whole show is that speaking in tongue in public, and we have seen this, you know, so many times where people would, you would ask them to come up and pray, and then automatically they go into tongue. Well, you were instructed to pray. So why not pray,
you know,
instead of speaking in tongue? And I understand the scripture tells us in Jude 1 and 20, or, you know, it's just one chapter, but in 20 it tells us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's fine, but you were instructed to pray. So
and
your mind should be ready to go and pray.
And see, Archer, you hit it. It's like, and does it really need to be assumed? If I pass you the mic in a public area, okay, if we're in a service and somebody gives you a microphone, isn't it? It should be assumed that other people are in the room, or it's
yes.
a public setting. So you really shouldn't
mm-hmm.
have to tell someone to, you know, really shouldn't have to tell them to pray, not in tongues or blah, 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 but it's all on how the person has been taught. If they have been raised up to, oh, I'm a pray, I need to look like I'm entering in, I need to warfare, then as soon as you give it to them, they're going to pray in tongues. And what I've also found, discipling and teaching, is that people use tongues as a cover-up for lack of studying their word, which makes me question, because if they're using tongues to cover up a lack of study of their word, then where are these tongues really coming from if you have no word base?
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I'm going to say this and I'm going to let you talk for a little bit. I just wanted to, we had the speaker. I thank him for calling in. I think there was some misunderstanding here. One of the things with shows is, and it's what it is, you have to, the title of this show tonight was Tongues, Gibberish or Edification. So, didn't want that to offend anyone, but we did want to, you know, when you do a show, it's not for offense, but I do with my titles. I want people to come in because people will get edified once they come in. It's not to provoke. It's not to confuse, but it's to, look, we're going to talk about tongues. Is it gibberish or is it edification? I'm of the class that believes it's unto edification. It's not gibberish. Some people do believe it's gibberish. I do urge people to go back and study the spiritual history of the world, because tongues was not new to the New Testament, and tongues was not new to the church, because demons prophesied in tongues, and they had oracles, and you had people all the way from India in Africa to your American Indians that will get in trances, and they would speak in tongues as these spirits would speak through them. So there is a need, and there was a need in the church for Paul to delineate, because today, if God was to speak to us in tongues, a lot of people wouldn't even take it as a holy thing, because every time you come to church, somebody got a ta-ta-ta, woo-woo-woo.
Mm-hmm.
And when God speaks, maybe people can take him seriously if we were in order and we lived and put order to this. So that's what that was. These shows, you know, it's what it is. I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. Anybody want to know who I believe in? Call me, ask me. I will freely tell you who I believe in and that my God is Jesus. So we thank God for that. Don't want to offend anybody. But they're listening to the message. But that's clarity. And I can see how in a day and an age, you know, because we are living in the United States, and I can totally understand that. We do live in the United States, and everybody do whatever they want to do. And you can't say Jesus, you know, whether it be in the military or whatever. You say Jesus, they looking at you like, you crazy. We can't say that. You have to say God and all this other. And we know that, but that's not here. That wasn't what we were doing here. And again, I thank the caller. Archer, so talk to us a little bit about this. Before we had left, you had said that was one of the reasons I wanted you on the show. You had said the Lord put this on your heart, because the other day I was in here, I could not sleep, and he gave me this word at 3 a.m, and I had to get into this, I had to get into this Greek and this Hebrew and really get into this, because it was almost a smack to the face as well, because with all this tongue talking, Why aren't our preachers saying anything more prolific and more in-depth? And why aren't we seeing the miracles at a higher frequency with all this tongues and all this spirituality and all this downloading of mysteries? Well, where is it in the lives of the believer? But, Ken, I'm going to pass you the mic and let you talk to us for a while.
Okay. I was just, as I said, I was looking over this and, you know, the whole topic of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, at least, a good part of it is talking about tongues. And so I guess a question came to my mind as I was just looking over it, and it more or less was, you know, all these tongues that we're hearing, are they really of God? You know, are these
mm-hmm.
people really
mm-hmm.
filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues? Because
right.
demons have tongues. The demonic realm has tongues too.
Yes.
There's chants that go forward and all these kinds of things. So it just becomes a question, you know, if you're not Holy Spirit filled, you shouldn't be speaking in tongues. Otherwise, you're chant. And I think that's just one of those things that is in my mind anyway.
But you know, you hit a topic there too now, because we're going to have to do another topic now. You know you hit a topic, because now you've opened up a topic where, you know, I came up in a Pentecostal church where they tell you if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So now you open up another topic, because now, you know, when you talk about tongues and the Holy Spirit, because there's a whole class out there.
Well, if you go back into Acts, it says that, you know, when you receive the Holy Spirit, that you were going to have those tongues. So that was supposed to be the evidence of it. Now, I still believe that. I believe that is the evidence that you have it. However, should you be out just speaking in tongues at random, just turn it on, turn it off? I question it. if the Spirit of
right.
God is not giving you utterance to do that, then I don't believe you should. I don't think you should just be doing something that is out of the will of God. And I think that's really my whole point. But the other thing is, too, when we come into a church service, you have people that's saved and people that's not saved. A lot of times when all of this activity is going on, we're scaring the people that don't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I believe, too, the apostle is talking and letting us know we have to do all this in order. Everything should be done in order. A lot of people need to be taught about this tongue, that you will speak in tongue as God give you utterance to speak it. But to, you know, the baby speaking in tongue, the child over here, you know, this person, they just walk through the door and you tell them to speak in tongue. There is a problem with that. They may not even know the Lord yet. So I think we have to get people familiar with the Lord first, get them saved first, and get them filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's probably a lot of what's missing.
So you just hit another point, too, that, and I want to hit, because a lot of people, now that's another touchy subject, like what you mentioned about the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues as an evidence, because people go to Acts 2. We go to Book of Acts, and
mm-hmm.
we see that they had the tongues clothed of fire, but we know that they spoke in languages that other men around them spoke in. But even after that, we see in three different instances in the Book of Acts. Well, we see it in Acts. We see it, I believe, in chapter 10 and verse 9 and chapter 19, if I'm correct on that. But we do see in there where every time people got filled with the Holy Spirit, that tongues followed. And then when you look at what the scripture says, you know, about the tongues following, you know, you got magnify. And then the other one, we broke down what prophesying means, which means these guys were prophesying. You know, they spoke in tongues and they magnified the Lord, or they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. But you said something about how we take people and, you know, we're going to pray them through to get the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we bring people in to get the Holy Ghost, but then all of a sudden, they don't even know the Lord. They don't even know the Lord. And here we are
mm-hmm.
trying to get them to speak in tongues. Then what tongues are they speaking in if they haven't even been fully introduced and converted to Jesus?
And that's why I was saying there's demonic tongues, there's chants, there's all of these different things, and this is something that we need to think about.
You know,
in the church, there should be a way that, you know, a system where we take people through, where we're calling them in, we're getting them saved. Okay, you're coming on in, you're getting saved. Then from there, some people immediately get the Holy Spirit. Some people do. If they don't, then you should take them through that process. They need that. I mean, it's a must that you have the Spirit of God, because that's really what's going to keep you. That's what's really going to teach you and direct you. So it's important to have the Holy Spirit. It's not just, you know, for those tongues. But I think what happens is, you know, people, they get saved, and that's where it stops. The next thing you know, just start speaking in tongues. Wait a minute, hold on. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I keep saying it because it's a big question. Mm-hmm. Are you filled yet? I'm going to tell you, my experience is this. I got saved, I think it was on maybe a Thursday. It took me about 3 days before I got actually filled.
And see,
I wanted the Holy Spirit so badly, and I really told God, I said, you have to fill me, you have to fill me. I must be filled with your Spirit. But here again, I'm asking the Lord to fill me. How many people know that? I grew up in church, so I understand. But you've got people that did not grow up in church and don't really understand all of this.
See,
they're just coming in.
You know what?
So
that was
I believe
me.
There has to be a process that you take people through. If they don't get it right at the beginning, as soon as they receive Christ as their Savior, I believe you need to take them to that next level, or at least work with them so that they can get the Holy Spirit, and then those tongues come. But just to allow tongues to be, you know, out there just in the wind, I don't
you
agree
know,
with
right.
that.
Right, and you said something that was powerful, because I still remember it. Look, oh my gosh. You fell into the acts. Okay, I see you, Chaplain. I'm gonna plug you in. I'm gonna plug you in a few. You fell into the Chaplain, you on the line, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm gonna have you comment in a few minutes. I want you to stay on the line, please. But
okay.
See, Archer, you fell into the acts. What is it? Acts chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
I call it that. You know, I'm going to joke here a little bit, but you fell into the Acts chapter 2 category of getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother Ward here fell into the Acts chapter 19, because in Acts chapter 19, it said, okay, until, you know, Paul said, okay, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we haven't, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto him, well, my God, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. See, I remember, look, I was saved. I was a minister in the church, taught Sunday school, taught youth. I was on the praise team, choir. I was even the pastor's armor bearer. Okay. And I didn't even know. It took maybe a good year or two. And I was like, hold on. I started hearing about this Holy Spirit, and I would go home, and I heard Creflo Dollar talk about it. I would close my door, get on the knees, and be like, okay, God, I want the Holy Ghost. And I was making up tongues. Lord, have mercy. Did I just say that? Yes, I did. And I said, that ain't it. That ain't God. That ain't God. That ain't God. I was trying to make something come up that I knew was not God. That's why when I knew I got the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I knew it was the Lord, because I didn't control. He stepped in and took control, and he stepped in and filled me.
Yes.
And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that's why sometimes, you know, and it's not everybody's personal experience, and we're going to have Chaplain chime in. It's not everybody's personal experience, but I remember the anointing and how the anointing on the man of God radiated from the pulpit down the aisle, and how I walked to the aisle, and it was as if the ceiling had fell down. And when they laid hands on me, I hit the floor. I began to speak in tongues, and after that, that was, you know, I knew I had the Holy Spirit. I knew I had the baptism, because I had been seeking God for it. But you said it, Archer. You have to teach that it's something to be sought before somebody can will or desire to receive it. Chaplain Seaborn, chiming in on the conversation. Did you have a comment there?
Chaplain, you still there?
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Do you have a comment?
Yeah, yes, sir. I'm coming in on the tail end of what y'all talking about. I think first thing what we're dealing with is different types of theologies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we look at it. I like to call it Peter Wagner. If you read some of his books, Apostle Peter Wagner, he calls the classical Pentecostal theology, which dates back to the Azusa Street movement, where Bishop C.H. Mason, the founder of Church of God in Christ, which birthed a lot of the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, Church of God in Christ, and many other of the mainline Pentecostal denominations today, that their theology or their doctrine is to prove that you're saved, it has to be proven with the evidence of speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing that the neo-Pentecostals that are charismatics, where that you could be saved, but some might not speak in tongues, and some might. And I think that I know there's many different slants this conversation is going. I was trying to catch everything. I think that the emphasis is not necessarily the tongues or the gifts, because there's so many abuses of it, especially in the Pentecostal Charismatic Church.
Right.
But it's the emphasis is the heart. Because the people focus on so many things, on the gifts in the Pentecostal Church, but I know so many people that spoke in tongues, but it didn't change their character to the point where they left church or left the presence of that service, and they didn't, and they're still acting like a heathen. So now, how are they operating in gifts given by the Holy Spirit, but still acting like a heathen 20 minutes later?
Which means that either the gift you just opened up a can of worms, which means you're forced to logically go down the route to say, okay, if your character is not lined up with the gift, and this gift is given by the Holy Spirit, then either your gift is illegal, unauthorized, or demonic.
Correct.
Or off.
I choose the latter, demonic.
She said, you know, and it's what it is. But see, this is something that we don't want to face. And, you know, you make a good point, because we're just so used to doing anything any kind of way, and we don't want to. But it's funny you brought that up, because I was going to go to Galatians 5. And it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now this is going to, see, I'm going to mess with some people, but y'all going to still love Brother Ward. And out there in radio land, y'all still love me, please. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and tongues. Against such there is no law. Okay, I'm waiting on some Bible scholars to catch me on this. Because, see, the scripture, it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, and against such there is no law. So it goes back to, where does it say in Galatians 22 that the fruit of the Spirit is speaking in tongues? In Galatians 5:22, unless, I don't know, y'all got that in y'all scripture? Y'all got tongues in y'all scripture? Because I don't have that in Galatians 5:22. I don't see that. I don't know if I see it anywhere. In my King James Version, is not there. Am I negating the Acts experience? No, I'm not. But let's talk about this thing. Hello?
We're here.
Oh, praise me. Got a little quiet. You know, and we're just talking. I just like to bring up scriptures like this to make people think, because like Chaplain Seaborn, like you said, people have preached that if you don't have tongues, you ain't saved. And then people have preached, well, you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. But then again, if I can read this, speaking in tongues, Plato did a discourse on speaking in tongues because the ancients did it. And it says here that tongues can be and are counterfeited by demon spirits, and it's evidenced by the fact through spiritistic mediums. Muslim dervishes and Indian fakirs speak in tongues. It must be remembered by those who try to make tongues a badge of spirituality or a status symbol of saints who have attained the height of spiritual experience that speaking in tongues and other interpretations are not peculiar to the Christian church, but it was common in pagan religions and in spiritism, both in the ancient world and in the modern world. So when you research this thing, you really begin to paint a picture as to why Paul began to do what he did and talk about how we did. Well, Chaplain, did you have anything else to say before we patch you out?
No, it's funny that you, not funny, it's the Holy Spirit, you're bringing up this comment, because me and Bishop Brooks were talking about this today, and that so many people put issue or put center emphasis on the gifts in the Pentecostal church or tongues and not allowing God to change their heart and change the inward man. And I think that the central focus of what you just brought up in that scripture is love.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greater of all that.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
No. You're right, because it's funny you said that. Prophet Great, you're on the air. It's funny you said that, because before I started this whole conversation, I said, how fitting is it that Paul mentioned love before the whole chapter on tongues, and I first made it clear at the beginning of the show that if you ain't got love, your tongues, resurrection of the dead, and whatever you do, you could be the Pope, but if you ain't got love, then it doesn't mean anything. And that was at the introduction, but go ahead.
And that is very true, and I think that you know me and you are both in the military. And I've run into different denominations, and so many people have stereotypical ideas about Pentecostals.
I think you got your TV on, Chaplain. I hear some noise in the background.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So many people have stereotypical ideas about Pentecostals because of the negative connotation that tongues have, over the years, many different other denominations have perceived people with tongues. But, and it's turned a lot of people off. You know, as we both in the military, we meet a lot of different denominations because of the nature of the military is very pluralistic. But
mm-hmm.
I think this, as this word that's been thrown around prophetically in the church, especially in the prophetic apostolic church, the shift,
right.
The shift and the changing of the guard, there's a paradigm shift of theology that's even being thrown around even in the apostolic prophetic churches, because as we dig deeper, we begin to come to full understanding what God is really saying, and I'm thinking that even as I pastor different. I'm Pentecostal in nature for the listeners, but I pastor different denominational churches. And just the other day, I was in an Episcopal service, and I was serving communion. And they serve communion with wine and the host, and the Spirit of the Lord, for the listeners, gave me a word of knowledge, and there was a gentleman out there who needed healing. And the Holy Spirit told me, do not pray in tongues out loud, because you're gonna turn him off and he's not going to receive his healing. But give him a word of knowledge that the Lord said he's going to heal him. And I invited him up. He took communion. I laid hands on him. But I didn't do the old typical thing what I would have done in culture. Ah, Roboko Shadabase. I didn't do none of that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to cut you off, but that's exactly what I'm saying right there. Is that you can't just go into tongue. You have to And this is what God had told me. We were on a prayer call, and I'm going to let you finish your point. And my sister got on the phone, and she needed prayer and all this. And before I could begin to pray, God said to pray with her according to knowledge. Do not go into my traditional whatever. I could not do that. So I'm just, you know, commenting on that. That's how, you know, that's how we have to be. We have to listen to the Lord.
Right.
I'm sorry for
Oh no, it's good because that's wonderful. Now Patrick, I got you on chat. He's gonna finish up, but I wanted to get you in here, Patrick, to interject. You wanted to give us a couple of words.
Well, is the chaplain done with what he had to say?
Well, no, we're good. Yeah, we're good. He's gonna close up for us, and I texted him, so we're communicating. Can I do the show? Can I have the show? That's all I'm saying.
Just lift your hands right where you are. Just lift your hands. Anywho, all I wanted to add is that I remember when I first got saved, my experience was a lot different than most people. As you guys know, I was saved in a dope house. No man laid hands on me. No one gave me the sinner's prayer there. God saved me. I was one born out of due season, as Paul had his experience on the Damascus Road. So when I got to the church, you know, we had this, you know, these tarrying services every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Friday. I'm on the altar trying to receive something that God had already given me. But the evidence of speaking in tongues wasn't there, but the fruit of the Spirit was. And it was confusing to me as a new convert. I'm looking at the people who's supposed to have it all, you know, talking about ah, bah, 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 bah. But, you know, you mean as a yard dog. You know what I mean? Because there was a true conversion there. I mean, instantly I was delivered from drugs, alcohol, and those things, you know. But you got these other people who were supposed to have it all. So until I was married, until, let's see, almost 3 years after salvation, there was no tongue speaking. But it was no tongue speaking, how can I put this, in a regular service, because intellect had come into play. But my wife would say I would preach and I would speak in tongues when I was asleep, because my intellect could not overtake it. So there was a process that it took for me, because intellect got in the way. However, I was filled with the Spirit and also ministering the gospel at a high level, but that still in the back of my head, because of the Pentecostal denomination that I came from, you weren't all there, not all that, because we don't hear you say ta-ta, ha-ha, bo-bo, time a yellow bow tie, untime a yellow bow tie, retime a yellow bow tie, whatever you had going on. But I was filled with the Spirit. So, you know, I think we emphasize this too much. Don't get me wrong. I believe you need, because Acts 1 and 8, because after that, which the Holy power, I believe that, you know, they used to tell us that that's a keeping power. But, you know, I think we put too much emphasis on tongues, and I found even in my ministry, in my life, I mean, you will hear more, like Paul said, I'd rather that you speak five intelligible words. When we go into prayer, don't get me wrong, that tongues will give you a download. It will give you a word of wisdom. It will give you a word of knowledge. But you should be praying, and you should be speaking in something that people can understand. Because if I'm talking about ha-ba-ba, ta-ba-ba, that doesn't profit you any. And I think that's what Paul says in the scripture. But I've been listening to this whole thing. There's been some great points that have been made. There's been some awesome points. I think there's been a little bit more understanding. The gentleman, I think, Cal and Angela, I didn't quite understand where he was going with this whole thing, because I'm with you. We do see miracles.
Right.
We have seen healings and services that we
mm-hmm.
are. We do believe Jesus is Lord. I do understand that there's his part about, you know, people saying God this and God that, because I was about to do a wedding, and, you know, they were saying, because one party was Christian, one part was Muslim, and they were telling me I couldn't say Jesus. Well, I said, well, we ain't going to do this wedding. You know what I mean? Because Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But I just wanted to add that,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are times that the speaking in tongues is emphasized way too much. And, again, speaking in tongues, as I believe my wife
right.
says, don't mean that you actually feel with the Spirit, because you can have a good old
right.
good devil when you're speaking in tongues.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And
that's all I wanted to add.
Amen. Amen. And Chaplain, I know we interjected there, but you know what, Patrick, you made a great point there. You made a great point.
And, you know, and that's what this show is for. It's for some edification here. And, you know, and just try to put it out there. And a lot of times you put down the information, I think people assume things, like the gentleman, you're able to pick up certain things. And I'm just being real here. You're able to pick up contentiousness and certain things, and you can hear things in people's voices because people look at the title of the show. And like I told someone, if you got offended by the title of the show, we need to control our emotions and discipline and tune into the show to find out what's going on. And it goes back to doing what we know, our theology, and doing what we believe. But like the chaplain said, and he's about to finish his point, you know, he's in a service. He can't just be yelling and blabbing and a bunch of people. Why? Because what did Paul say? Edification is the bigger thing. So if edification is the chief goal, then the spirit of the prophet indeed must truly be subject to the prophet. And Chaplain Seaborn, you can finish your, I know we kind of interjected, but you were talking there.
Not a problem. The brother, I appreciate his comment. He made a real good point. Which I was about to say, but finishing up what I was saying, and like the sister was saying, I invited Henry up, and I just laid hands on him, and then the following Sunday he came back and he was healed. But commenting on the brother, even in the sister, what she was saying, a lot of times that since I've transitioned and I don't want to say moved on, I appreciate my kojic roots. I use the tongues as a download. It gives me access immediately to the spirit realm. And a lot of times my tongues, if I'm in the middle of a service, sometimes the spirit of the Lord, like the sister was saying, will tell me it's not for me to blab it out, but it's immediately to give me immediate access so I can discern, or I can immediately tap in and I can get into that prophetic realm, and I can just and give understanding. And that the tongue for Brother Henry at that particular moment was a word of knowledge, was a prophecy which he can understand. And he took that, and by faith he went back to the doctor's office, and the cancer was gone out of his body. And so, but I guarantee if I would have blabbed out tongues, he would have been turned off by it. And so, you know, I think that what the enemy wants to do in this hour, he wants to shut down the gifts of the Spirit in the church because there's so many abuses of it. But you know, there is order, as far as even with the Holy Spirit and using and moving in the gifts. I.e. the tongues. But at the same time, people have seen so many good and bad. And I think that Prophet Ward and the other brother and the sister, as we in this generation and we're moving in this hour, we have to bring order and bring a reverence and bring a respect of the gifts back to the church and bring proper education. And that comes through teaching. So that's all I had to say. But it's interesting you guys are talking about this again. I was talking with Bishop Brooks today about the same topic about the gifts.
Oh, that's what's up. And you know, and that is what's up. Well, I thank you for chiming in on. And you know, it's like the same. It's what it is. You know, I think people assume. And that's the thing, that's how I'm learning to find, you know, people got a spirit of error, you know, and we don't teach on that spirit quite as much, but the Bible talks about it. But you kind of find out sometimes, if Paul is making his emphasis on edification of the church, why do individuals feel so adamantly that they need to protect a doctrine of tongues, or protect a gift, or protect this or that? It's the church that is more important than anything that I want to do. So that's powerful. Chaplain, I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
And be blessed and enjoy your night.
You too.
All right. And, you know, we still have you guys on the line here. We're going to close up, but this was just an awesome show. Got about 5 minutes left here, but this was just an awesome show. What do you think there, Ultra? Did you think someone
Amen.
Was edified? Well, I think this was a good show. What do you think?
Yes. It was awesome. I think we covered a lot of ground. I just think, you know, probably at the beginning, maybe there was some misunderstanding, but I was really trying to, in the chat room, express the point and the angle that you were going with this. and that was more or less the public speaking of the tongues. And so I hope that, people that were listening, that they got that, that it's not that we're saying not to speak in tongue and we're putting tongues down and don't do it, but what we're saying is there is a time and a place, just like the chaplain just said. If we start speaking in tongue to these people, we're going to scare them off. We have to deal with them or minister to them according to knowledge, according to what God tells us. And so if we're not doing that, then we're going to lose some souls. Their faith is not going to be built. We're not going to win them over. So we really have to be mindful of that. And this, was, to me, was really a good show. Again, we covered a lot of points. And the main thing is we just need order and
you know
teaching.
And
order and teaching.
And that's the thing, you know, and I'm with you because, see, y'all, that's why I love, you know, different people, you know, because different people and God has them a different way. Because I know my spirit is more direct. And see, messages like this, it tears down at that religious spirit, people with the spirit of error, people that are prideful. Because guess what? When God began to deal with me with this, okay, I said, okay, well, praise the Lord. This is the Bible. I don't supersede the Bible. My spirit, I was immediately in submission to, okay, God, let me see what you got to say. When God gave me some revelation on some doctrines that didn't agree with what was being preached in the church, I had to submit my spirit to what he was saying. And so the problem comes in with people, you immediately begin to see that spirit of pride or that spirit of error, because people think they're delivered from it when you're really not, because it pops up. You got a contention spirit or a spirit of pride. Anytime you think somebody disagrees with what you think you know to be right, as if you were God and everything you knew were right. So anytime somebody brings something new that may correct what you think you know, now all of a sudden you got an issue. That's the spirit of pride. That's contentiousness. That's being argumentative, because we're supposed to humble ourselves one to another in understanding. Okay, and not presume. That's why if we go back to 1 Corinthians, and this is the reason Paul said this, because he knew contentions was going to come up. Well, the Spirit knew through Paul that this was going to be a contentious subject. But if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20, this is why Paul said, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but look, in the contentions, in anything on that bad stuff, in argument, look, be kids in that. But in understanding, don't be kids. In understanding, be men. So we should be able to come to one another on a platform and understand some things. But the thing that gets me, I'm telling you, as a prophet, is when I hear people, they're not skilled at the word. They don't research. They don't study. They don't even know what Holy Spirit they have. They just take their own spirit and they go on a psychic journey through the Bible. They preach what their seminary has told them. They preach what their denomination has told them without opening up the book and being a Berean and actually getting extraneous information, extra-biblical information, combining that with all your other seminary information and all your other denominational information, and use the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said again in the book of Corinthians chapter 14 verse 6, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I should speak to you by revelation, by knowledge, number two, number three, by prophesying, or number four, by doctrine. And with that, I'm going to call it the night. Prophet Gray, I want to thank you for being on the show. Prophet Gray, I want to thank you for being on the show as well. I want to thank you guys. And if you are listening, and I played the wrong exit, I didn't want to play that one. This is so ghetto, right? If you are listening, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. We've been talking about songs, and this has been a great conversation. Take this download, and you can email it, you can download it, upload it, put it on the website, send it to somebody. Let somebody be edified by this show. We talked about tongues, a very controversial subject. I hope you were edified. I hope you were built up. You were listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. This is your host, Calvin Ward, signing off. Tune in next Sunday.